Hello, good evening, and welcome to the football chat room. The past 14 minutes have been 14 minutes of, anyway, we've talked football for a total of about 30 minutes today, I am Precious, and that has led to the recording of this episode. So, yeah, of course, Precious is here as well. Good evening, Precious.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Happy to be here on today's episode.
Yeah, you don't sound happy.
Discussing the is there any happy Man United fan? Show me a happy Man United fan.
I'm a happy man.
Well, not a happy Man United fan.
Anyway. So yeah, in today's episode we will be discussing, of course, he has brought up Manchester United, so there's that. We'll discuss Manchester United, latest updates on the signing of Mason Mount. There's some talk about Andre Onana. There's a whole messy drama around David De Gea. There is also some talk about the sale of Manchester United. That's on Manchester United. We'll also talk about Chelsea and the signing of Nicolas Jackson from Villarreal. That's been confirmed by journalists. Now, we've not seen Nicolas Jackson wear a Chelsea kit. Chelsea have also signed, I mean, this happened last summer from what we know, but Chelsea have also signed, anyway, the top goal scorer in the Bundesliga, what's his name now? Christopher Nkunku has come into Chelsea, yeah, this summer, so that's two new signings for them. Chelsea have also sold a lot of, by the way, just so I don't forget, Connor Cody is leaving Everton, who managed to stay up in the Premier League. And he's joining Leicester City, who have been relegated for
he's
7 points.
Not leaving Everton, per se.
Sorry?
He's still a Wolves player. He was on loan at Everton. He's still he's a Wolves player.
Wonderful. So he's leaving Wolves.
Yeah.
And joining the Championship. Okay. So there's that to talk about. And, of course, Arsenal today have agreed a deal worth £105 million, £100 million guaranteed, and £5 million add-ons to sign Declan Rice from West Ham. This makes this amount a record for a British player. The previous record holder, Jack Grealish, for £100 million. So yeah, a difference of £5 million. There's that to talk about. And Manchester City confirmed the signing of Mateo Kovacic yesterday, just almost immediately after losing Ilkay Gundogan. I read an article by The Athletic today that said that Pep Guardiola intended to replace Gundogan with Declan Rice, but had to mold Declan Rice into the player Gundogan currently is. There's that. Rice is off to Arsenal, by the way. Immediately City decided to not pursue Declan Rice. I think they would have lost that battle and they knew it, because for some reason, reasons best known to him, Declan Rice had his sights on Arsenal. City have I'm interested anyway in Carlos Vieira. I hope I get that name correctly. Plays for Celta Vigo, I think.
His
yeah.
Carlos. I think it's Gabi.
Okay, yeah, sorry, Gabi Vieira. Plays for Celta Vigo. List cost of 40 million. Liverpool are interested in Dominic. I cannot pronounce your name. Yeah. Dominic has a release clause of 70 million euros active until 30th of June. So that's the content of our conversation. I will start right at Manchester United. Manchester United and Chelsea, according to reports from very reliable journalists, Telegraph and Fabrizio Romano, United will meet with Chelsea again this week to resolve the Mason Mount deal. Now, the article by the Telegraph says that United still do not intend to go above £55 million. What United will do in that meeting is to negotiate the structure of the deal. My guess is that the deal will change from a guaranteed 50 million plus 5 million in add-ons to a guaranteed 55 million. So yeah, that's my guess. And I think the number of installments will be made shorter. But that's my guess. I think we've had a lot of talks about Mason Mount and the kind of player he is on this podcast. We don't want to go into that. So yeah, that's the update. And Precious, I think Mason Mount is going to be our first signing. You obviously said you're not excited, but do you trust the manager enough to integrate this player into his system? Now, noting that something you should note is that Christian Eriksen played that role. Eriksen was not very effective defensively. Mason Mount is a lot better defensively. But Mason Mount doesn't have the ball retention of Christian Eriksen.
Last season, we did not retain the ball as much, right? And even when we had possession, it was not in that area. So I wouldn't say that Eriksen was like is better retaining the ball, keeping the ball.
Yeah, he's not. He's also not in the stance.
Yeah, so that is quite true, right? So, but that's not where I would base my argument off of, right? I would just generally talk about, the number one, the issue of, he didn't have a great season. He didn't have a good season last season, right? There were injuries and, lack of form, right? And on this podcast, we've been listening. You know how I am with injuries, right? Like, especially when you invest into a player, you get and they don't even play games. There's an issue there, right? And it's bearable if the player comes back and he has that X factor. You get in his position, he is the best, right? Or, he's in the conversation. Right now, Mason Mount is a good player, right? I think he really gives his all, right? He's one of those guys that would do a lot of work, right? And all that, which is an obvious thing, like upgrade from what we saw with Eriksen last season, especially in the big games, right? But then what is left to be desired is the fact that Mason Mount is not that caliber of player you get that is your statement signing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he has just a year left on his contract. And here you are trying to pay £55 million for a player that has 1 year left. And he is not a top tier player.
So what's your valuation of Mason Mount?
He should be going for not more than £30 million. That shouldn't anything above that like is basically like we are being robbed off. And it only this kind of thing, right, only happens at Manchester United, right? Because let's say you could bring up the conversation of Declan Rice. Declan Rice had 1 year left on his contract, but there was the option of extending it for a further year, right? Which makes him more valuable. And he just brought a title to West Ham. Do you understand? He is in the form of his life, right? Scoring a lot of goals and really being important in keeping West Ham in the Premier League.
And right? It's also important to note that City were also in for Declan Rice.
Exactly.
But with that respect, I want to point something out to you. Now, The Athletic, I think a report by David Ornstein, I think last 2 weeks, the report came out that Arsenal, in fact, wanted. The first player Arsenal wanted was Mason Mount. Now, not for Declan Rice, but for Kai Havertz. And Arsenal pulled out of the Kai Havertz deal when they found out that Mason Mount had intention of joining Manchester United. Now, not only Arsenal wanted Mason Mount, Liverpool also wanted Mason Mount. So, I want you to have that context when you're making your argument as well.
Yeah, they want him, but the player wants to come to United.
Yeah, so that's why there's no bidding war.
Yeah, right. But what that exposes is the incompetence by United. This is a player that will be free next year, right? And that wants to come to United.
He wants to understand this summer. You cannot
wait
for next summer.
That is true. That is true, right? But we might lose out by next summer by not getting the player that the coach wants, right? First of all, like before I continue with that, I would like to note that if we had all the money in the world, I don't think Mason Mount would be Ten Hag's target. I feel like this whole interest came out because there was insufficient funds, right? Because there was the conversation of, it later came out that the Declan Rice has always been in Ten Hag's list, right? But we can't even join that conversation, right? So, first of all, I think Messi Mount signing is because we don't have the money to go for the players that we want, we should be going for, that we should be in contention for. Right? Now, that is first to note. So, if we're losing out on Messi Mount, it might affect us in the way that, right, we're not getting this guy that is obviously for his quality, he's a bargain. Right? The only reason why we are shouting about this thing is because it's just 1 year that he has on his contract, right? So let's say we miss out on that deal. You know who misses out the most? Chelsea. Right? It's always going to be them missing out the most, no matter how you twist it. Right? Because he has made it clear that he's not signing a new contract at Chelsea. Right? And when he is nearing free agency, unless, you know, Chelsea play him anyways, when he's going in the summer, play him, and then he's their player of the season, then he decides, okay, well, maybe I should renew. Right? That is not going to happen. It is highly unlikely. So, the chances of that Chelsea will win if they decide to take away, like, to walk away from this deal is very low. Right? Now, what does that expose? Something that we already know, that United overpay for players and we are horrible at transfers. Right? Everybody has us by the neck. Right? In every deal that we make. Now, I understand that, okay, you could use the Zidane Iqbalde, right, for example. He's a player with a lot of potential, right, that is already an international. I don't know if you are aware of that, but yeah. Zidane Iqbalde plays for his national team, mm-hmm. right? He has made his debut for Manchester United, a lot of potential, right? How much did he go for?
A little now, under. Billion, 1 million yeah. pounds.
Yeah, if that was City, right? If that was Chelsea, right? What would you think Iqbalde would go for? We'd be talking at least 10 million. Lavia, without a first team appearance, went for 12 million. He doesn't play for the national team either. Right?
Okay. Yeah, you.
So,
but I want to point something out to you. Yeah, I mean, I feel that that's a valid argument, but I think there's something you're missing out on, and I think this mm-hmm. is something United should have done. Now, Iqbalde went for under £1 million. Now, if in the same scenario, there was a report that came out, I think last week, that Dortmund were interested in signing Hannibal Mejbri for €15 million. Now, this, in my opinion, is because Mejbri has experience under his belt as a loan signing. There were also reports that Sunderland wanted to sign Amad Diallo for £20 million because he has experience. I think what United should have done was let this guy go out on loan and get playing experience. And even if you want to sell him, make someone out of it. We did not do that. And that's where I think the problem is from. I think...
Bro, Lavia did not have a senior debut when he went for £12 million, right? Now, I'm not asking us to go and get like £15 million for Iqbalde, right? That would be difficult to do, right? He's not English. He's not from a top nation. But no matter how we look at it, it affects players' values, right? Mm-hmm. So that is not the case with him. But you should be commanding at least £5 million, right? From a player that has all this potential, right? And even though he's going to a relatively like, you know, lesser league, right? But Utrecht, it was Utrecht, yeah?
Yeah,
Utrecht. Yeah. So, now, they should be giving us £5 million for it. That is it. United, there's really no way to look at, to go around it. We are so bad at transfers, and you know what is the worst part? Everybody knows. Right? Everybody knows just, that.
Yeah, okay. I was just saying, just so we don't drag this on, I think we should hold on here. We still stay with United. Everyone knows that we are bad at transfers, and there was this argument that for Lisandro Martinez, and in the end, I basically said you cannot overpay for a player when they've delivered on their value. But the person said at that point, we exceeded Ajax's valuation of Lisandro Martinez. Yeah. But That's another argument. Now, I want us to still stick with Manchester United. An article came out by Bloomberg.
So I'll try and read it. Just a minute. Just hold on. I cannot seem to find the article. But anyway, there are some key talking points from the article. We obviously talked about updating you on the sale of Manchester United.
Now,
Jassim Altani is
his camp is confident that they will be the new owners of Manchester United, or that he will be the new owner of Manchester United. That's on one end. Another key talking point is that there is a possibility that the Glazers accept a minority investor to just invest in the club, and they stay as owners of the club. That's a possibility. Now, if you remember, the article that came out announcing this, the article specifically said United are looking for investments and we will consider all options, including a sale. Yeah. So those were the exact words from that article. So investments could come in form of minority investments or a sale. I think it's more likely that it will be a sale. And that's the second talking point from the article. The third talking point is that some minority shareholders. Now, the Glazers own 69% of Manchester United. Some minority shareholders want, from the article anyway, yeah, from the article by Bloomberg, they have threatened to sue the Glazers if they give priority to Jim Ratcliffe, majorly because Jim Ratcliffe is not buying out any of their shares. Now, the shares at United are Class B and Class A. The Glazers own Class B shares. These shares are the shares that have the power to make decisions for the club. And that's why Glazers make decisions for the club. Yeah. So, Glazers have Class B shares. Of course, there's a board of directors. Yeah, that also is involved in decision-making. But Glazers have, according to shareholders, the rest of the shareholders don't have a lot of power to make decisions. Now, these guys are saying that they will sue the... They will sue the Glazers. Sue the Glazers if they select Jim Ratcliffe as preferred bidder, because he's going to buy just their shares and not their shares. It's a long legal thing, and I'm not a lawyer. I don't know a lot about the law. So that's the third talking point. The fourth talking point is that Manchester United have about £260 million available, apart from the money required to to maintain the club and everything. Yeah, but the club cannot spend those FFP restrictions. United are owing about £300 million in transfer fees to other players, and so that's a whole messy situation. So yeah, that's the update on Manchester United. So Precious, is there anything else you want to add to this or say?
I feel like this is not really an update, right? Because we've been around this whole conversation. Yeah.
The sale is entering is 8 months. 8 months.
Yeah, it's just another way of saying what we've been hearing the same all this while, right? I think after the Ratcliffe second bid, there was still talk. I think, was it Reuters? Reuters that first made the post that Jassim's bid was going to be announced or unveiled as the preferred bid, and that never happened, right? that hasn't happened till now, right? So that might have been true when the broadcasted it, but like, from if you read underneath the fine print, you'll find out that this is really a case of the Glazers being indecisive, right? And I think it is so because it's not just one or two people, not one of the one or two Glazers that own, you know, like everybody has an opinion about what they would like to do with the club, especially considering that Sheikh Jassim's bid, right, is a bid for, like, you know, all the Glazers' shares and all the shares, right, in the club. So if there's anybody that doesn't want to sell, like, you would have to convince him, right, because if the person does not want, then nobody will get anything, right, because they want the whole club, right? So there's the case of that. Then there's also the case of Radcliffe, you know, the potential legal implications you get if his own bid is accepted. Do you understand how this is not a straightforward a straightforward business, right? So it's really a thing of the news you heard today is true, right? But what changes tomorrow, right? What if Radcliffe comes with more money and decides, okay, I want 100% too?
Okay, and right? The article also says that it's unlikely that Radcliffe changes his bid at all.
That would, to me, that would be the best outcome. But we don't know. We never know, right? Nobody expected that the sale process would still be ongoing to this point, right? And if you check, it was close to the end of the last transfer window, almost a year ago, right? Where we started hearing rumors that United don't have money, they need to sell, right? And we ended up manufacturing money to buy Casemiro and Anthony, right? That happened. You know, I don't know if you can remember that. Then yeah. there was reports of Radcliffe coming out to, you know, talk about buying Manchester United. Then there was this whole conversation: is it on the market or is it not on the market? Nobody knows, right? But this is just a matter.
Blah blah blah. Really long.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is really a case of what is true today, you get, might not be true anymore tomorrow. So this is not really an update, because we've heard all this before. We even saw, like, there was a period where they were like, Sheikh Jassim has won, you know, it's just to be announced, you get. And then we came back to, oh, Sheikh Jassim has to make another bid. Do you get, like, it's really something that I don't think the Glazers even know what they are looking for, right? It's just a matter of what can we get? What is the most that we can get out of this, right? And then we'll see how long. Because to them, it's all about their money, right? So the more money, the better. That's the only thing they're thinking of. They're not thinking of if they are ruining a transfer window or if the coach is being backed. They probably have not even met Ten Hag throughout his stay. So it's really what it is. Right, it's Bloomberg, right? But this is just Bloomberg, you know, saying what Reuters said a few weeks ago in a different voice.
Okay, anyway,
like, yeah,
yeah, we'll stick with United for one last time. I've been nursing this idea for a while, it's a crazy idea. I think I also talked with Precious. I talked with Precious about it. I talked with a few people as well. United do not have a striker. That's obvious. Anthony Martial is not good enough. He's not going to be good enough to play for United until his contract expires. That's something that is true. I had this idea. I shared with people as I said. Now, United want to sign, I think, from the press. When was that? Specifically, I think it was around June 5th. And a report came out that United wants to sign both Harry Kane and Rasmus Højlund. That came out. But the problem was that the asking price for both Kane and Højlund was like about £180 million, a lot of money. And Levy wanting £100 million for Harry Kane, who has 1 year left on his contract. Atlanta wanting about £80 million for Højlund, which was very crazy. Okay, so Atlanta wanted €80 million for Højlund, which is about £64 million, which is about £64 million. So all of that happened. And then this morning I had the very crazy idea that, all right, why don't you sign Ivan Toney? I mean, I know the first thing that comes to your mind, the first thing that came to my mind when I talked to when I talked with him was Ivan Toney suspended. Everybody, Ivan Toney suspended. But yeah, I mean, United have signed players who have had off the field issues. Yeah, I mean, Eric Cantona was not a saint, and all of that stuff. And even Adrian Rabiot, who United were wanted to sign before he decided that he was going to stay with Juventus. United actually offered more salary than Juventus, but the player decided that he would sign with Juventus. There was a report that his agent wanted a huge signing on fee to the tune of about 10 million euros. So yeah, that's by the way. So all of these people have off-the-field issues. Now, the thing is, Ivan Toney has never had an off-the-field issue before this one. That's one to note. Two, Ivan Toney has publicly apologized and has said that, in his own words, he will see a different beast in January. So he's obviously working hard to return in January. Now, I say this because Precious does not agree with me, but I think Ivan Toney is very similar to Harry Kane. Yeah. But that's not something Precious will agree with me. Ivan Toney, by the way, is 5 foot.
No. I think he is, right? And he's somebody that I even talked about, right? Before this whole case came up, right? I was like, you know, probably we should look at Ivan Toney, right? You know, he's a player that has, like, he has good attributes, right? Like, that is true.
Mm-hmm. Right? Just hold on before you finish or before you start. Let me just lay the foundation for this conversation. Now, Ivan Toney is currently suspended. My thought process is that if United want to sign two strikers, of course, you cannot want to sign Højlund and Harry Kane and budget 100 million. That's impossible. Yeah, so the budget would be or should be over 100 million, yeah? So that's what's reasonable. So yeah, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, I have seen Højlund, I think, a few games, not up to 5 games, not up to 3 games, in fact. I have also watched videos, a lot of that. Now, I've watched a lot of video content on Højlund on YouTube and Twitter. Yeah, and there is a trait that I like in a striker. Now, there was this game I was watching, I think Napoli in the Champions League. I can't remember the exact game that was, but Victor Osimhen scored a goal and got injured. Now, I love to see that in a striker. And I saw that in Højlund, I think, once, where, of course, he did not get injured. It's not necessary to always get injured, but I love strikers that will give anything to score. Yeah. So, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer talked about not having a striker that was willing to break his nose to score. And then when he got Cavani, he was so happy that he got Cavani into that position. So, I think that's the trait Højlund has, which will be very good. Højlund, I have to say, did not have a lot of goals last season for Atlanta, and struggling as well to displace Jovan Zapata from the team. That's another thing entirely. But yeah, but I'm thinking, yeah, if you're going to get two strikers, you can play one in that position till January, where you can start Ivan Toney. Because now that's one. Two, Ivan Toney is currently suspended. You could look at the dark side and be all moody. Or you look on the bright side, and this suspension means that there are not many eyes on him. This means that he will not command a significant transfer fee. And so the FFP that you're complaining about that wants to make you save money, you will save the money and get a striker who is 28 years of age. And I mean, technically, statistically, a player's prime is 27 to 31. So he just hit his prime. And you can have him throughout his prime years. So, Precious, what do you think?
That is, like you said, we would need two strikers, right?
Precious.
How's my sound now?
All right. So this is the recording. I'm so precious. Just gone about the club. About Ivan Toney.
Ivan Toney. Wishful thinking. Mentioning the comments. That's impressive. So, like I was trying to say, I was saying that I don't fancy Ivan Toney is because I don't think we would get Ivan Toney and another striker this summer. Right? I don't think that is something United is capable of. So I'm not believing them. It's just the evidence is overwhelming. Yes, as to what to expect when it comes to United, and it, competence is not just one of the things that you expect. It doesn't, that is not promised. So I think, and then generally, like, I think, why don't you just, I would say buy him in January, but still, that in January, you would now have to face competition. Mm-hmm. Right, and all a of great that. Athlete. But I think he's a very good player, right? I don't know the price that they will say, but for £50 million, right, I would take Ivan Toney. But anything more than that, I don't want him. Yes, £50 million now. I would take him. Right?
So
but I have a feeling that Brentford wants more than that.
Yeah. What would be a relation of Ivan Toney with competition?
Is it now?
Not now, when he's free from the suspension.
I think Brentford will want to get 80 million for him, at least.
Okay. Anyway, moving on from Manchester United, we will talk about Chelsea signing and Nicholas Jackson. I have not seen any of Nicholas Jackson, so he's mostly going to be Precious. Precious. Talk on.
I've watched a few games, right? But I cannot say that I'm an expert in the style of play. I know he's, like I was saying earlier when we were having the discussion, I know he's similar to a Danjuma style of player, but I don't think he's a great signing. Right? Like, it might work, but I don't think he has, you know, like, he's the player to make the difference. Like, what problem does he solve at Chelsea currently? Because he's not an out-and-out striker, right? And they have, I think, a few players that, you know, can drift in. You know, they have like a good number of wingers. Even Nkuku is not like a proper striker per se, right? Especially we've seen the issue with specialists, right? Like when Havertz came and he was not a specialist number nine, right? And he tried to play there, it did not work out per se, right? So I don't know if it makes sense, but at least somebody is doing business. Like, they are surely doing better than Man United. So, I think aside from Nicholas Jackson, right? Which I don't know why they do. Like, do you think it makes sense?
It does not make any sense to me for Chelsea to sign another attacker. It makes no sense at all.
That is not a number nine.
Yeah, it would have made sense if they went on. I mean, there were links earlier to Dusanovic. That would have made sense. Yeah, Chelsea need a number nine. And it's not even like, the funny thing is, it's not even like they have a creative outlet in midfield. Of course, there's Enzo Fernandez. But Enzo is a deep line playmaker. So even if they get a number nine, who is going to create for the number nine in the box? Yeah. Do you guess?
Yeah, they would need to. There's Nkunku coming in, right? Nkunku is coming in to play off the nine. He would.
Nkunku likes to score. Would,
yeah, he likes to score, but still, like, he could also be that player. I mean, he's not, considering that he started off as an attacking midfielder.
Yeah, but I mean, so, okay, he could. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, but I'm talking of an output heavy player in terms of creating for the team. I'm talking about
it's players not everybody like, that needs that. You know that yeah, but they accommodate for that. There was a time where Reece James was very productive for them as from right back. So you just need, it's not like you don't need the Bruno Fernandes or the Bruyne, right, in every side. Right? Someone that is not going to be, you know, heavy with the numbers.
Yeah.
Sometimes so, you just need good players that can do a job. I feel like they need more midfielders.
Yeah. I'm just saying, surely. Chelsea definitely need more midfielders. I'll come to that in a minute. But yeah. I'm just saying, if they are not going to send an out-and-out striker, then maybe that would and provide some perspective.
No, they would have to. There's no way they would not get a striker. It's impossible.
Okay, and I'm talking about midfielders. I think Chelsea have a lot of work to do, which is very ironic. Chelsea have a lot of work to do in the transfer window, because you could talk all about clearing out the club. You have spent 600 million. Again, Chelsea fans and Chelsea cannot escape the fact that they spent 600 million in transfers. Now, Chelsea will most likely lose Mason Mount. Chelsea have lost Mateo Kovacic. Chelsea have lost Kai Havertz. Chelsea have lost Ruben Loftus-Cheek. The only senior midfielder in that team, Chelsea have lost N'Golo Kante. The only senior midfielder in that team is Enzo Fernandez, who is 21 years old, or maybe 22 now. So it's funny how you have spent all that money and you need to sign at least 3 midfielders to compete. And I'm saying this again. If Chelsea do not do right...
Yeah, I heard they are progressing for Moises Caicedo. So
Caicedo is only one player out of 3. Yeah. I'm saying if Chelsea do not do the midfield, they will not finish in the top 6 next season.
Regardless, but you know that they will do the midfield. They have the money. Right? Now, and once if they sort the outgoings, then they can focus on transfers. I think they need new defenders, right? Then definitely, you know, they would need. I think they should be buying 2 defenders, 2 midfielders, and a striker. I think that's what Chelsea needs to go out and
do. I would say 3 midfielders, yeah, because, like I pointed out, the only senior midfielder is Enzo Fernandez. If you buy some more, you're going to have 3. And anyway, it's not like Chelsea are playing in Europe. Yeah. So it's just the Premier League, domestic cups. So yeah, that could help them as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, just stepping out of Chelsea a bit, Manchester City decided today that they will not be pursuing a deal for Declan Rice. Now, for some reason, Declan Rice wanted to join Arsenal. And I think City knew that, and so just pulled out. I think we also talked about that. Yeah, at the start, we talked about Gabi Vieira coming into the mix for Manchester City. Little matter of Nico Barella being available and City not pushing him. Because I think now, Rice, sign Barella. There is no way Barella will cost 90 million, at most 80 million. Yeah. I mean, there was the talk of Newcastle wanting to bid 50 million and Inter laughing off that bid, yeah. But if you bid 60, 70 million, you're going to give them things to think about, yeah. So, but Pep knows his team. I think I trust Pep enough with any player because he has shown that he can improve players. So let's talk about City a bit. How do you think Mateo Kovacic will fit into that team? Now, Kovacic is a very good player. Now, you talked about Mason Mount having a bad season. I think Mason Mount is not a bad player. Mason Mount is a good player. And you can see with Kovacic. Kovacic also had a bad season, but he's gone to City. And I know he will perform at City because of how good he is. I think having a bad season, especially at the club with the atmosphere of Chelsea, does not determine your quality as a footballer.
Of course, it doesn't. But I'm saying even at his best, is he top tier? Right? Is he in the top tier of midfielders in the world?
The convo is about Kovacic at this point, though.
No. You mentioned Mason Mount, right? Okay. You cannot bring up now. How much did Man City pay for Kovacic?
30 million.
I think it was less than that, sir.
No, just 30. It was even more, just 30.
So, generally, now Kovacic. Issues. The issues with Kovacic are injury issues, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a very good player. He has played at Real Madrid, right? He has played at Chelsea. He has won trophies with Chelsea. So has Mason Mount, right? But this guy is coming for, you know, 30 million, and he can do that job. Like, I don't know how you look at it. He's not coming to Man City, right? To transform as a player, right? Mm-hmm. He is a Man City type player. I mentioned this, right, when I was talking to my brother, right? He's a Chelsea fan. Even before Man City made interest, like made known their interest for Kovacic. I said, if Chelsea are looking to sell Kovacic, Man City will buy. He is a Man City player, right? Good in possession and ball progression. Like, if there was a time that we were talking about Kovacic at United, were we not? I think there was a time that we talked about Kovacic.
Majorly, yeah, because
it was mentioned, right?
Yeah, just so
it was mentioned, basically. Yeah. Now, why he was mentioned in the first place is because of the role that he can play, right? Which is somebody that is good in the first phase, right? And that is all playing at Man City is about, right? How you progress from that first phase, right? Basically, that is what playing at City is about. And, you know, because of how it's been at Chelsea, right? Like, I feel like Kovacic, he's the kind of guy that can carry even into the box, right? He's a Gundogan-type player. That is all I'm trying to say, right? He's a Gundogan-type player. Now, when we buy Mount, the player that Mount is currently, like, if you buy him, is not exactly what we are looking for, right? You don't see him coming in, right, and becoming that solution in the first phase. Until now, let's say we buy Mount and we don't buy any other midfielder, right? We still have the issue of first phase. There's nobody that can do it. You get? So this is Man City, they are a club that we should be studying, right? And I've mentioned this before when we were talking about the success of Pep Guardiola. You get, especially the exceptional success that he's had at City, right? I've mentioned that the recruitment around Manchester City is phenomenal, right? They know exactly who they want to bring in, right? They just know. They know who they want to bring in, and it makes sense. You get to bring in this player, like whenever they bring in a player, it makes sense to bring in the player because the player is a Man City player, right? Now, this Vieira guy also is a Man City player. You know, these are Man City players. They buy Man City players, you get. They don't buy players per se and then start trying to make them do a job in another position. You get, like, you can't do this. You get, when you have a press conference, you now start explaining how a player is adapting to play a role, somebody that you just bought. The thing is, now, I trust the coach to do the coaching, right? I trust him to do the coaching to get the results, right? But I do not trust Ten Hag's scouting, right? I trust him more than I trust the people that are actually employed to do scouting at Manchester United. I'm sure he's better than them, right? But generally, you get, I don't think he has that nous, right? Or the exposure to be able to. We are supposed to be talking about Kovacic, right? But I'm just saying that I cannot just say, oh, Mount is a good signing because the coach said so. Right? Like, you know, we've seen that a lot of people have struggled to adapt, right? That he bought, in as much as for every Lisandro Martinez, there is an Anthony, right? And regardless of how you want to praise Anthony and say that, okay, you know, he showed up in some games. He did not have, how much did he buy him? 100 million, right? Also.
100 million euros.
Did he buy Anthony? Yeah, 100, he did not have a 100 million euros season, did he? He did not. Right? In as much as how we want to praise him for the Lisandro Martinez, you cannot praise him for Casemiro because Casemiro is the 5-time UCL winner. Like, what did you expect you were getting? You get, like, you know what you're getting on the label, right? So, but this tells you that he can make mistakes, right? And this is not supposed to be It's not supposed to be his job per se, right? Like, Man City are very wise. I don't know how to say this, but they are very wise. Man City wanted Maguire, right? And they backed out because they did not want to pay that money, right? And if they don't get Maguire, they have options. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if they don't get the main guy, they have somebody that is similar to him that can do a similar kind of job, right? Like, it's crazy. Like, okay, let's say John Stones was not a success for a while, right, at City. But last season when you saw John Stones, like, being what John Stones could be, right, you could see that he fits. Do you get, like, it's not a you buy and try to make something out of him. You get, let's buy Mount that has been playing. He has even played as a left winger, right, as an inside forward, and mostly as an attacking midfielder. And then let's try and bring him back. We'll just bring him in and then bring him back. Then we will not have Bruno Fernandes losing possession, have Mount losing possession. Do you understand? Like, I'm not comfortable with that. But the discussion is Kovacic. I think Kovacic is a great signing. He's quite injury prone, right? But hopefully he would not need to play all the games, right, for City. If he's fit, he will play, right? But I don't think, like, City is going to stop there. I'm sure they are going to buy other players, right? And then Gundogan is gone, but then there's Bernardo Silva that can also play a deeper role, right? So there will not be, like, as much pressure as you are thinking. Even if this Diego guy comes in now, like, there's no rush that he would need to, you know, start games and influence games, right? So I think it's a perfect sign. I would have loved Kovacic at United, you know. Those two midfielders we are going to get, if one was to be Kovacic and one more midfielder, it wouldn't be bad, right? Especially considering that we are not getting De Jong, right? Like, we might as well just get somebody that is closer or just...
So now that you've mentioned, I think United should go for Ryan Gravenberch. I'm serious.
How much do you think he would go for?
20 million.
I think he might go for more than that.
He's not playing at Bayern, and Bayern are notorious for... It's not notorious because it's a good team. Bayern wanted to sell Sabitzer to us for like less than 20 million. Bayern, when you're not playing, they rapidly want to bin you out of the club. And I think we should take that to our advantage.
But the difference is that they don't want to be in Gravenberch.
But he's not
has said that he wants to keep him. Yeah, but he wants to keep him.
Now Ryan has come out to say that he wants to play, hopefully at Bayern. But if that is not possible, he'll move. That is a player calling out and saying, come and rescue me.
No. We need players that want to play for United.
It's not about wanting to. Now, Caicedo, who Chelsea want to sign now.
Mm-hmm.
Caicedo previously said his dream is to come to United. And then in January, after Arsenal tried to sign him, he was very angry that it did not work out. And he said something about wanting to go to Arsenal so badly. And now he's most likely going to go to Chelsea. Do you get it? And he is still going to do a job for Chelsea.
So yeah, that's not what you're saying.
Work like that.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I think just wild child, I think we should go for Ryan Gravenberch. I mean, you want to enter midfielders. He's not injury prone. I know he's a ball carrier. In fact, he's almost as that would be blasphemy. he's a good ball carrier. I was going to mention Gravenberch and De Jong in the same sentence, but yeah, that's going to be heresy.
Well, why is he not playing games if he's that good? Why is he not playing games?
I corrected myself now. I wanted to call him and De Jong, but then I know how to caution myself.
But yeah, I'm saying, like, if he's that good, right, why is he not playing?
Okay, so basically, yeah, Bayern play. Bayern, of course, you know what they play. They play Joshua Kimmich. Mm-hmm. Joshua Kimmich, Leon Goretzka.
Goretzka has not been great.
Yeah, but so Gravenberch is not displacing Goretzka now majorly, because
There's something Ryan does not. Ryan is not, I mean, he's not physically very strong. Goretzka obviously is. I mean, we can see that. That's something Bayern emphasize on, physicality. Especially if he wants to play box-to-box. Grabach is not even a box-to-box player. So in the first place, I don't know why they signed him.
He's not, but he is. He is, though, right? He doesn't play box-to-box in the way that maybe you would expect, you know, to play box-to-box, but he's a box-to-box player.
It depends on what your box. It depends on what your definition of box. I mean, I think box to box players have to have a very huge engine. Yeah, N'Golo Kanté, Leon Goretzka, Ilkay Gundogan. You know, I really don't think Grealish has that.
I think he does. I think he does. He has not really played enough, has he, to even show that. But like at Ajax, he used to score goals. Right, he used to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
So like, how did he get to the opposition box? I think he can do that. He can do that. Like, I feel like, you know, I rate him very highly. Actually, like, I rate him very highly. I just feel like because he's been a wonder kid, right? He's been a wonder kid like that. That just hasn't gotten enough games, right? That just hasn't happened for him, bro. I think he could do a job. He could be that player, but United. We don't. The thing is that we don't know who we are signing. Nobody knows, right? It's only, I think the only person that is sure is Mason Mount, right? And it's crazy that these players have to put so much effort to help United bring them to the club. You get, like, you have to beg. Imagine if we got Gakpo for that bargain, right? We would be talking of one striker now, right? Like, if he may make Gakpo beg, like, let him kneel down and beg for United. You get, Mason Mount has done his job. Like, he has begged. Onana, Andre Onana, like, I'm tired of linking. My United is not a US because you are linked to everybody. You are linked. Personal terms. Are you not tired of doing personal terms? Anyway, if they're going to this giving back, Gina, they will do personal terms like this. Even
they did personal terms and lost Kimberley.
They will think it's a relationship. Yes, now we have personal terms Kimberley to Bayern. Like, Bayern is the F1 thing for me for Bayern, right? After stealing Kimberley, like, technically, because I think that is going
Thank
to happen.
Thank you so
right?
much for name.
They went for Harry Kane. They put in a bid.
Bayern?
Right? Yes, now. Look at you. You don't know.
No, I know. But I'm saying, are you seriously? Do you seriously think that a bid of 70 million is going to come in and Levy to sell? Now, Levy is going
to... No. But I'm telling you that they have bid. Like, a bid is a bid. Right?
It's not,
if you've not bid.
When you want to bid, you have to be sensible. Yeah? Now...
Let me ask you, right? In this, did you see the links that Man United were interested in Declan Rice?
Yes.
Did we bid?
No. Because now,
Do we have any rights?
Relax now. Let me tell you a couple of things. Relax.
How many bids did Arsenal put?
Three
bids.
Yeah.
Who has Declan Rice now?
Relax now. Will you relax? Let me tell you a couple of things. I'll start with Harry Kane. Now, first of all, United conducted exploratory research on Harry Kane and quite simply backed out the moment they knew that they did not have enough money to buy Harry Kane. So now, United have, with all due respect to every other club, United are probably top three clubs that get linked to. In fact, United get linked to the most players. I think a scout from the club was speaking and he said, we get linked to players that we don't have any interest in at all. I've also read Ferguson say something about that. We get linked to players that we don't have any interest in. Now, United, no, from the articles by reliable journalists, United do not have 100 million to buy Declan Rice. So there's no need to bid. Do you get? Harry Kane is going to cost 100 million. There's no need to bid 70 million. Now, if Have you seen? Did you see House of the Dragon? Where someone came with a letter for Damon and Damon beats the person up? Like, that's... If I am the owner of Tottenham and you call with a 70 million bid, I'll probably beat you and send you back to Germany.
Yeah, but still, whether you're going to beat them, the messenger or not, they've made an inquiry. They've declared an interest.
Now, so I'm saying we actually did make inquiries. No need to bid 70 million for Harry Kane. You will not get, even if you blow Breeze along with the money, you will not get him.
So let me. Do you think there's no chance that Harry Kane would go to Bayern?
If Bayern are serious and they bid 100 million, he'll go to Bayern.
So like you're saying, like you cannot price something, like whether it's going to work or not. They have started the process.
I'm saying
they put a bid in.
I'm saying
Kim Min-jae thing, mm-hmm. right? We are still United are always assessing. You are assessing.
Precious. I'm saying there are times when clubs take firm stance. For example, there was no way on earth when some are going to accept less than 100 million for Declan Rice. So all of the teams now did, they were just wasting time. Now, we talked on this episode that United do not have
what
that
much to spend.
So there is no need to go and explore and beat 70 million. There's really no need. Just move on.
Move on. Have they moved on? Who have they moved on to?
That's not my point of concern. My point of concern is that you cannot be mad at United for not showing enough interest in Harry Kane when they don't have the money to buy him in the first place. Because it is
who do we have money to buy? Who do we have money to buy? Who do we have money to buy?
I don't know who we have money to buy, but I know we don't have money to buy Harry Kane.
Okay, generally, as we don't have money to buy players, right, and we are wasting this much time. Do you think the situation is getting better or is getting worse?
No, obviously it's getting worse. I'm not defending United. Yeah. I'm only saying there is reason to why they have not bid for Harry Kane. And there is also reasons why they did not even make any attempts to sign Declan Rice. Because it will not happen. Everything you are going to do will result to nothing in the end.
But what is the plan? Like, if this guy is not in your plans anymore, then what is in your plans?
You have I to show. I don't know. Shebi, I've told you. I don't know for the club. And quite frankly...
You have to know. You have to know because you seem to know everything.
Yeah. About the club. So basically, I do know that the club will not move forward with the Glazers in charge. And that's what we should focus our energy on. To be honest with you, I don't even want to focus on this transfer because I'm just going to get very mad. I think everything that we should be doing of this club, the earlier the better. I told you in our private conversations that if this is itself, we may not even achieve anything itself, guy. Because your mates are signing Declan Rice and Moses Kessié, then you're signing Mason Mount.
It's crazy, bro. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, and you want this innocent man to come and compete in the Premier League.
But they have
Newcastle bought Tonali. Like, we are not talking about this.
Newcastle bought Tonali. Liverpool wants to sign that guy who no mention. Why I cannot pronounce his name? Why I like very much. You know, everybody.
Is it Turam?
No, not even
Turam. Okay, Szoboszlai. Okay, Szoboszlai. Yeah.
Turam has gone to AC Milan.
No, that's Marcos. I'm talking about Kefren Turam that wants this one to our rivals.
Don't mind him. United fan.
It's crazy. Like it's going to be tough next season. Like I wonder. I don't want to know what's going on, you know, through Ten Hag's mind. Because
do you guess?
As a fan, I'm able to like, you know, come on this podcast and say what's on my mind, but he can't even say what he's thinking.
Because he's just going to get himself fired.
I mentioned this before. Like, if the Grizz has done leave,
he may just leave.
you get it. It's an actual possibility. That's something that we've not considered as United fans, right? Amidst all these things, clubs could want Ten Hag, right? Very serious clubs. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, It's crazy. It happens to coaches too. It happens to coaches.
Anyway, I do think we should stop. We've done about 51 minutes. So, yeah, I think we should stop at this point. This episode will go on the air tomorrow. Thank you for staying true. And good afternoon, good morning, good night whenever I listen to this.
Yeah, same. Thank you, everyone.